Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
This morning with Dr. Lara Greaves from the University of Auckland. Kia ora, Lara. How are you?
Morena. Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I hope you're having a nice holiday and managing to get in a bit of summer at the moment.
Oh, definitely, but it's feeling a bit over now, isn't it?
I know.
Now things are starting to kick back and get back underway.
Exactly. Well, politics hasn't stopped over the break. Probably the biggest thing that's been happening in the last week is the Waikerea prison protest. And I wanted to start by talking about this because it's quite a complex issue, but also simple in some very key aspects here. What are your sort of takeaways from how this has been handled? I want to talk a little bit about Rawiri Waititi's involvement in a minute, but there has been a lot of discourse about the nature of the prison system in Aotearoa and what these prisoners were protesting against. Do you think this is going to be contributing to a bigger conversation moving forward?
Yeah, there are quite a few variables going on at the moment there, right? So the first one is this still taking place over that Christmas, that summer break for Parliament. So a lot of the MPs are actually on holiday themselves. Mm. A lot of the media are less operational because it's summer, and a lot of people are paying a lot less attention because it's December, January. In classic New Zealand, a lot of people, they tune out and they take some time off.
Mm.
So there's that playing out, right? So there's this quite serious sort of political issue about prisoners' rights playing out while people are on, people having their carefree, COVID-free summer, right? So that's kind of happening. And traditionally, we don't really tackle big issues in December, January in New Zealand politics.
Yes.
It's just not what we do. So we've got this big issue going on there. The other things that are tied up in this is there's some stuff around prisoner rights, which are generally not popular with the public. The public doesn't like to think of prisoners firstly as humans and secondly as people with human rights, people that should have access to things like clean drinking water and like basic sanitation and like clean clothes and things along those lines. People don't necessarily, prisoners' rights is not necessarily a popular sort of policy platform to go for across the board when you're looking at centrists and sort of right-leaning people. The sort of other variables, like the different other things going on there, is that like a high proportion of prisoners for various reasons, pertaining to colonisation and inequality, are Māori.
Mm.
And so then we've got also this Māori rights-related strand playing out within the situation. And I think that for a lot of the, we'll talk about Rawiri Waititi sort of in a moment, but this is like a key issue in terms of Māori policy making, how you make prisons, how you somehow decolonize a colonial institution that is prisons and make them more suitable for Māori. And then sort of the other thing is, of course, is prisons are sort of the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually been a lot of sort of upstream situations around inequality, again, around colonization, around treaty partnership, all those sorts of things that could play out earlier in that sort of stream of actions and situations that lead to someone being in prison. So, there could have been better social welfare support, better education support, better job support, all sorts of things along that way before that person ends up in prison. So there's all those sort of policy issues playing out as well.
It is. It's one of those things where this is kind of the tip of an iceberg in many ways, not just for the prisoner right conversation, which I guess is maybe the one that, as you mentioned, is something that the mainstream public latches onto, but also feels kind of repelled by as well. It's a very sticky problem there. Let's talk about Rawiri Waititi, though, because he's had a really interesting role to play here. This is, I guess, his first major thing he's had to do as an MP, and it's a pretty big one at that. What are your thoughts around how his involvement has played out and what that's actually meant, not just for this particular situation, but for what we might see from Rawiri Waititi moving forward in this parliamentary term?
Yeah, so I can see two sort of strands to his involvement. One has been the sort of actual, physical involvement going in there and, his sort of the part that he played in resolving the whole situation. And then the other one has been sort of the way that he's framed it or been that sort of vocal opposition in the public. Because, we saw in the media sort of the situation where, there were all of these memes coming out of where is Calvin Davis, like the where's Wally but Calvin Davis version, all those sorts of things coming out. We didn't hear much from Labour and the Greens over this time period, really. And I think the two sort of parties that were showing as opposition were Simeon Brown and Barbara Kuriga standing outside the prison and not being let in, they kind of showed some opposition, and National did their classic Law and Order, tough on crime. We heard a little bit from David Seymour around that as well. So they had that, there was that classic sort of right-wing opposition to prisoners and prisoners' rights and corrections, that kind of classic rhetoric that they play into. But it was also very interesting because we sort of saw this left Māori opposition and Ngāti Waititi and the Māori Party. Mm. And again, it's this was the Christmas break, and these people were there sort of acting as politicians acting, in Rawiri's case, as an advocate and doing that sort of thing. So it's been interesting to see in terms of the sort of different oppositional strands playing out in politics, definitely.
It is going to be a very interesting, I think, parliamentary term going forward, because there are so many new players in the game, so to speak. Not necessarily new to broader politics, but to parliamentary politics, certainly. Let's talk a little bit about Ihu Mātou, because that happened in this kind of weird window as well, just the pre-Christmas window. We're finally sort of seeing some moving forward from the government's involvement, at least. What are your initial reactions to this? Because as it has been mentioned, this deal between Fletcher's and the government is just a first step in many ways towards resolving this situation for mana whenua at Ihu Mātou.
Yes, I totally think originally when we were looking at it, like I remember sort of when the initial, when the police went into Ihu Mātou, I was teaching a Māori politics course, right? And so we're all sitting there like going, I was like, okay, so the class, we're just going to switch and we can start talking about Ihu Mātou instead of the scheduled programming. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to that. And so I think a lot of our discussion around the time there was, will Ihu Mātou be mishandled to the point that there then can become a sustainable Māori political movement or Māori party from there, right? Mm. So that was kind of where I was watching. It's like, could Labour, like taking a course like principles and partnership and all of that out of it, could Labour de-escalate the situation sufficiently to not create political opposition to themselves through it and for them to still hold those Māori seats? And ultimately, a lot of things contributed to Rauri Waititi's victory in Wairiki and the Māori Party coming back, but that was one of those things that ultimately now we do have the Māori Party there. So that was sort of one thing that I was watching all along, and to some extent Labour have managed to go with a very moderate solution here where they've managed to de-escalate a lot of that sort of more sort of grumpy Māori attention, but they've also managed to de-escalate it enough that, you know, we see the sort of press releases coming up from David Seymour saying, oh, well, this is going to open up the treaty grievance industry again and all that sort of thing. But they still managed to de-escalate it enough to come to sort of what sort of a very moderate political solution. Mm. I think that now the different parties are going to be looking at exactly what housing at Ihu Mātou looks like because of how this has all been done sort of under the housing sort of provisions. So what that looks like in terms of like mana whenua, papakāinga and kind of housing, that's something that they still need to go forward and like go for those solutions. But at this point it seems like the parties are happy enough, and again it's not like the solution that all these people are like, woo, awesome solution, but it's that moderate political solution that's meant that you're not opening up treaty claims or doing anything radical along those lines, but then you're keeping everyone happy enough.
Mm. Yeah, it's a really interesting observation as well about, as you said, what was that going to mean, you know, a year ago now for what this current government looks like is a really interesting, a really interesting thing to think about there too. It will be great to see what happens moving forward with that. But I think we ought to touch base briefly on COVID before we say ka kite for this morning. We are seeing now that there's going to be testing, pre-flight testing for people coming from America and the UK. They have to produce a negative result before they can get on the plane to come to New Zealand. This is something that the National Party, particularly in the last term, was really calling for across the board, and we're seeing it now for these specific places where we've got these strong strains coming through. What are your thoughts around this? Because it is, I guess, something that the epidemiologists, Michael Baker particularly, has been saying is a good move. Do you think we're going to see some tighter restrictions across the board with people returning to the country now that we have got this, you know, increased situation elsewhere?
I think it's a very tricky thing there, isn't it? Because the UK and the US have, like, a huge amount of COVID cases at the moment, and we can kind of see, like, we can kind of all kind of, on that individual anecdotal level, like, feel for those cases that we hear about of someone getting stuck overseas and then coming back, you know, and going into the sort of quarantine facilities and all those sorts of things. So there's that kind of playing out, right, that we can think about these individuals and, oh, that would suck for them being stuck in the UK, getting a positive COVID test and not being able to come back. so we can kind of, people can empathise with that on an individual level. But if that thing that it comes down to, that like in a lot of these policy decisions, what the government's weighing up is those individual cases and how much it sucks for those individuals and is it in those whānau. This is how much it sucks for the collective as a whole if we do get that especially more virulent strain of COVID into New Zealand and how that works. I think here, in terms of like political science, that sort of thing, is that Labour, there's no real effective government in waiting sitting there for Labour as opposition to these things. I think it's going to be, again, for their party consistently evaluating the evidence and figuring out what the best solution for New Zealand is there. But I think that if they do make a few mistakes, there's like, I think the real challenge for like a second term government is to just maintain and to not get too many, like, so to speak, chinks in their armour of sort of people thinking of them as a competent government. And I can't see them necessarily making so many bad missteps on COVID that that's what ends up happening before we get this, you know, vaccine and all those sorts of things. So in the next year or two, I can't see that happening. And then, of course, National have to present as sort of a government in waiting of sorts, so like a competent manager of COVID that people could then think of as you know, yeah, a competent, you know, alternative solution to Labour. So I think that generally, like, it's a tricky policy situation where you have to balance rights of individuals, and we will get stories in the media of such and such getting stuck in the UK, and that will be heartbreaking for some people. Or, you know, that we'll have to figure out some kind of solution to get people with COVID back into Aotearoa through planes and through all of that. And, you know, all really complex. But I think it's, again, government balancing those individual rights against a collective responsibility.
Well, Dr. Lara Greaves, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning. Great to have you back on the show. And I hope you enjoy the last bit of your holiday as it sort of plays out. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Yeah, we'll go. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
With